Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. After the book of Ephesians, you'll find Philippians, then Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And we're going to preach on this subject this morning. What does it mean to redeem the time? What does it mean to redeem the time? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, we thank you for the good attendance in God's house today. Lord, I pray that you'd use the word of God powerfully in the heart of those that are here. Lord, I pray that you'd break up the fallow ground. Lord, that you would help us to have hearts ready to receive the seed of the word of God, so that it may take root and, Lord, bear much fruit in our lives. We pray for that one, Lord, whether it be in this auditorium or one of our many children's churches. Lord, if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, would shed light into their dark soul, Lord, that they would understand their need of Christ and be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Two different times we read in Colossians and Ephesians a command to Christians. Both of these books were written to the local church. So these are messages, verses that are for church members, are for saved people. And both times we are commanded and encouraged to redeem the time. Redeem the time. I got to thinking about this subject, and I think the Lord impressed me after the Wednesday night service that this ought to be what we talk about and preach on Sunday morning. I spent a little bit of time Wednesday night speaking and preaching to our Bible college students. And we've already, since Wednesday, had some take off for Bible college. Next week we'll have some more go, and then we've got some that I don't know what they're doing, but they're waiting until September to go, probably to more liberal colleges where they don't demand them to have very high academics or something. I don't know. But anyway, I wanted a chance to talk to our college students, and I talked to them about the importance of 7 B's for college students. And one of the things we talked about was be organized. I talked to them for just a little bit Wednesday night, for those of you that weren't here, on the importance of having a schedule and living by a schedule. I want to talk to you a little bit because this is a subject, when you get into this area, that goes far beyond any student at a college or any young person in high school. You see, this matter of taking good care and being good stewards of time is a command for every Christian. Every Christian. I got in my closet in my office. And if you're ever in there, don't open that closet door. You could be hurt. So I just wanted to share that with you. But I'm working on that be organized. I've got the whole office organized. The closet is why it's organized. Come on, you all have a junk room. You know when company's coming over, you didn't really clean everything. You hid it. And so anyway... I got into the closet, and I've got a couple of boxes that is just like this. And over the years, and I kind of switched the last few years and went to a different method, but for many years, every year I would buy a wall calendar. Let's see, I don't know what the oldest one is in here. Here's a 1998 and 1999, and there's 2001 and 2002, and in here is 2000. And anyway, I roll these up and keep cramming them in the same box to store them after I get done with them until I don't have any more room, and then I use another box. But I like this and enjoyed having this. It helps me to be able to at a glance see what the next several things are coming up. I think all of you ought to... By the way, this is kind of neat because when you pull this thing out, it's like a record of what's happened. Many of you ladies keep a calendar, and everything that happens, you know, so-and-so lost a tooth, the cow had a calf, we went here, we went there, so-and-so's birthday. You know, if you accumulate them over a lifetime, you have almost a journal of your family's life and activities. And some of you do that, so you know what I'm talking about. I think it's a good thing to keep something that measures time in front of you regularly. Because I think we have a tendency to waste time. And so I used to, and you see where I used to do this, and I quit because it was causing confusion. But I used to, at the end of every week, draw a red line through the week that was just completed. But the problem is I'd have other red lines, and it got to be too confusing, so I quit doing that. But I remember when I used to do this, I would go to the calendar, and when a week was done, I would take a red marker and a ruler, and I would draw a line through that week. I want you to think about that this morning with me for a minute, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. I will tell you this. I have a little calendar that I keep here in my billfold, little calendar book. Let me get over here to August so I can get the dates exactly right. But if you are in the habit of doing something like this, that means that yesterday, which was Saturday the 19th, am I right? Last Sunday we met here. Brother Darrell Moore preached. From Sunday the 13th through Saturday the 19th, that's got a red line through it, folks. This is the 20th. That's got a red line through it. Whether you drew one or not, it's got a red line through it. We're done. Now, today is Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the day Jesus rose from the dead. We meet again. But on the 27th, if the Lord tarries and all is well and God keeps us safe and healthy, we'll be back here again in another week. We'll have a red line through it. I think Christians have to live with the awareness of passing time. We have to live with an awareness that time is passing away. Now, you get to thinking about this idea of time, and it's really a fascinating... I mean, you can spend some interesting meditation time on this. Now, think about this, young man. What's the big deal about time and redeeming the time and not wasting time? Well, let me give you some things to think about. First of all, your time is your life. Time is life. See, it wasn't just a week of time that passed away in the last 7 days. A week of your life is gone. See, an hour is not a measure of time, it's a measure of life. A day is not a measurement just of time, it's a measurement of life. A week is not a measurement just of time, it's a measurement of life. You see, and what God does, our gracious Creator, is week by week, day by day, hour by hour, He allots us time, and by doing so, He allots us life. But first of all, time is life. Let me give you something else to think about. Time cannot be saved. It will either be spent or wasted. And how you spend, and an interesting spend, your time is important. Now, God gave you a week last week, and He gave you 168 hours. And beginning last Sunday at midnight, He said, here's 168 hours. Well, thank you, Lord. This is great. I appreciate it. I'm going to give you this week of life. Well, He did. You're here. I'm going to give you this week of life. Here's 168 hours. You can't look at that and say, Lord, this is wonderful, but I don't want to spend all of this. What I want to do is I'm going to take 70 of these hours, and I'm going to put them in the bank, And later on, I'm going to withdraw them and use them in the future sometime. Now, you could do that with $168, but you can't do that with 168 hours. You have to spend every single hour of time that God has allotted you. You have to spend it on something. You can't save it. You can waste it, or you can spend it on something, and we will spend it on something, you see. When God says this, let me give you this third thought. Our time can't be saved, but it can be redeemed. Now, I want you to stay with me here. Stay with me. I've got to have you mentally awaken into this, or I'm going to lose you. You're not going to get it. Our time is to be redeemed, the Bible says. Now, how many of you ladies clip coupons? Do you clip coupons? Good. And when you go to the store, you redeem a coupon. Must be redeemed by a certain date. Well, what that means is you take that coupon and you trade it in for something. You can't save time, but you can trade time or redeem time and get something back for it. You see. And every single week, folk, we spend our time doing something or waste our time doing nothing or redeem our time by using it to gain some things or to invest in some things, hopefully, that are eternal. Now, that means today, on the 20th of August, 2006, God, if He tarries and if He's gracious and allows us to see this day through, will have given you and me a gift of 24 hours. And it's up to each and every one of us, the Bible says, to walk wisely. Notice verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that's very interesting. God says, you know how you're going to spend your time? You're going to spend your time one way or another. Now you can spend it like a fool, or you can spend it like someone who's wise. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to walk circumspectly. That means you're going to have to plan. You're going to have to schedule. You're going to have to think ahead. You're going to have to understand that every gift, every hour of your life is a gift from God. And by the way, we will stand before God one of these days and we will give an accounting of how we spent our life, of how we spent our time. So yesterday we could have went to the calendar and taken a pen and marked out another week. This coming Saturday, before you pillow your head, maybe you ought to go to that calendar and cross through another week. But let me encourage you, Christian people, that God has given us a life and we need to use it for the glory of Almighty God. We have an opportunity ahead of us in these next 7 days that God's given us to do something important with our life, to do something life-changing with our lives. Now, I want you to think about for a minute these calendars. I want you to think about all of the weeks of your life. And let me say this. There's not a thing in the world you can do about 1998. That's gone. Done. It's already in the books. Not a thing in the world we can do about 1999. Now, that's done. Let's see. I think this is 2000. Not a thing in the world we can do about 2000. Whatever I spent my time doing, done. Gone. Can't do a thing about 2002. Some of you kids are thinking, I wouldn't even hear for those days. Well, you don't have to worry about them then, do you? Can't do a thing about 2001 or 2002, but you can do something about this week. You can do something about the rest of 2006. Only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, let me give you several things to think about in this matter of time and redeeming the time. What does it mean to redeem the time? Well, what that means is you have an opportunity every day to take the hours that God gives you and trade them in and invest them in something meaningful. Something meaningful. Now, let me give you some things to think about. Number one, I must one day give account to God for how I spend this next week. I want that thought to grip you. I wonder how much it would change us if we really believed that one of these days we are going to answer for August 20th, 2006, August 21, 2006, August 22, 2006, August 23, 2006, August 24, 2006, August 25, 2006, August 6, 2006, August 27, 2000. We're really going to answer to God one of these. We are going to give an account of how we spend this next week. Hey, Christian person, stop floating through life. Hey, Christian person, stop getting up. What are we going to do today? I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes. Plan to do something for God this week. Purpose to do something for God this week. You've been given the greatest gift that any person can have. You've been given the gift of life. You've been given the gift of time. If God's gracious and merciful to you, He's got a week ahead for you. And one of these days, I want to remind you that we will answer to God for it. Have you got your Bibles? Let's go to Romans chapter number 14 and look at some verses. Romans chapter 14, verse number 11. For it is written, Romans 14, 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Watch this. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now you know what that is? That's a math word. That's an accountant word, an accounting word. One of these days we're going to stand before God, and you know, we talk about being good stewards of our money and how God's given us a certain amount and is going to allow us in our lifetime a certain amount of money to pass through our hands, and we're going to have to count for every dime. God, one of these days, the great accountant, is going to call us in and audit us. Now, I blessed you with these things. I blessed you with these finances. Now, let's take a look at what you did with them in your lifespan. I think we're going to give an accounting of day by day, dollar by dollar. But it's not just money. It's time that we're going to give an accounting of. I mean, folks, you're going to stand before God, and if God's given you 50 or 60 or 70 years of life, every single hour there's going to be an accounting. Boy, that ought to stir us as Christians, you see. We all have been given this week the same amount of time. Now, we may not all be entrusted with the same amount of money and finances, and we won't have to be responsible for the same amount, but the one thing that's equal is in this matter of time. You think about that? I've got 160. You know, I hear every once in a while say, well, so-and-so just has more time than me. No, they don't. Well, this person just has more time. No, they don't. This week, I'll have 168 hours, and you'll have 168 hours. Now, what we mean by that is that I'm busier than they are. No, you've just made choices of how you're going to spend your time, like everybody's make choices how they spend their time. And those choices, those decisions, one of these days, we're going to stand before God and answer of how we spend our time. How we spend our time. Young people, learn to spend your time wisely. Church members, learn to spend your time wisely. Wisely. I believe something. We won't go there, but in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, when it talks about the judgment seat, it says not only is the book of life open, but it says the books are opened. There's the book of life, and then I think there's the books that record what we did with our life. 168 hours are available to you this week. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? You must give account to God for how you spend this week. Let me just share something with you. I guess this is one of my pet peeves, and it's not that I'm not guilty of it myself sometimes, but we need to stop wasting time. Church members, are you listening? Slap yourselves. Set up, learn something this morning. But don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. I prepared for this. I studied for this. I spent a lot of time on this. Wake up and get it. God's here this morning. God wants to teach you something. Stop walking through life brain dead. God's given you a week as a Christian, then you ought to use it for Jesus Christ. At the end of this week, 168 more hours, you're going to stand before God one day and answer for every hour of it. Now, we need to stop wasting time. I mean, it's one thing to waste money, but to waste life? Drive up and down these main streets of the small towns in this area, and night after night you watch a bunch of shiftless young people sitting around the hoods of cars, hanging out in parking lots hour after hour after hour, just hanging there doing nothing, wasting time, getting in mischief. Let me tell you something, that's a sin against Almighty God. Wasting time, just wasting time. Could be doing something productive. Could be helping somebody. Could be building something. Could be encouraging somebody. Could be building their lives or increasing their abilities or skills or learning something or reading a book. What are they going to do? Just hang out. Just hang out. What are we going to do? We're just going to hang out. Stop wasting your life. Life is the most precious gift that God's given you, and life is given to you in increments of time. Now stop wasting it. Tired of hearing young people say, I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. Good night. Open your eyes. Stuff all around you to do. Look around the place. There's all kinds of jobs that need to be done. There's people that need to be helped. There's souls that need to be saved. There's folks in nursing homes sitting around wishing that somebody would come in and sit by their bed and spend 5 minutes talking to them. 5 minutes! We just waste our time. TV wastes our time. Silly video games, waste of time, waste of time, waste of time. Now, I'm not against anybody having a little amusement and having, but I mean hour after hour after hour sitting there, nonsense. Grow up and take your life and accomplish something with it. Waste your time. Wait, man, God's given you a life. Do something with it. Do something with it. See, we're going to have a meeting here next week, and Brother Reiser is going to try to get some men to meet and get CDL license. I got an idea. Why don't you take some of your time and get behind the wheel of a church bus? Wonder what kind of rewards is going to come from the hour you spend behind the wheel of a church bus picking young people up, beeping in front of people's houses and waking every neighbor up that's not awake, and getting them mad so they call in and gripe to Brother Jerry. But I mean, I think there's some rewards. I think that's time well spent. Amen. You young people, listen to me. School's getting ready to start. And for some of you, you're going to find out again for the first time since school ended that there's actually a 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's crazy on visitation. It's crazy. I get these visitor's cards, and we meet here at 9:15, get organized. By 9:30, we're out the door. We start hitting doors and knocking on doors. 9:45 or 10 o'clock, we're knocking on doors, and guess what? Everyone's in bed. Why? I understand sometimes folks work third shift, but the whole community don't work third shift. 10 o'clock morning, and we're laying around in bed. Gosh, most of us had a full day's work by then. Brother Jerry, I don't like this. Well, you need to learn it. You need to get it. I mean, do something with your life. You see, this week, folks, there's going to be another red line. We're going to be done. One more week, another red line. We're going to be done. What are you going to do with it? What did you do last week with your life? What are you going to do this week with your life? You know, people come to me from time to time and say, Brother Jerry, I know you're busy. Well, yeah, we're all supposed to be busy. Don't talk about that like it's a bad thing. Why don't you try it? Yeah, I'm busy. I'm supposed to be busy. I mean, God's given me a life. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but He gave me last week. And let me tell you, I didn't spend it twiddling my thumbs. And God's given me this week and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And I want to accomplish some things for God. I want to do some things for God. I want to reach some people for God. Good night. You've been given a life. Do something with it. Do something with it. We chase pleasure. Let's chase pleasure. Let me give something for you mom and dads to think about. Every week that goes by, every time you draw that red line, every time you clock off another week, remember this. Your children are 1 week closer to adulthood. I see a lot of empty nesters shaking their heads. What happened? Oh, wait a minute, what in the world happened? Didn't we just bring them home from the hospital yesterday? Brother Tom, didn't you just bring that little redhead girl home? What in the world's going on? I mean, come on. Weren't the kids just preschool? Weren't they just first day of school? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Time happened. Time happened. Every week that you cross off, your children are 1 week closer to adulthood. Let me say this, parents, in the business of life, spend time with your kids. Spend time with your kids. Spend time teaching them. Spend time training them. I like to tell this story. I really don't like to tell it, but I will tell it. I think there's something about repetition and doing the same things over and over and over again. If you're going to teach your children and you're going to train your children, then you're going to have them doing the same right things over and over and over again. If you have somebody keep repeating the same things over and over and over again, pretty soon it's going to become a habit, a pattern of their life. When I went to a Bible college my very first year, as a freshman, 1979. Yeah, I was alive way back in the late 1900s. And we didn't have cell phones back in the late 1900s. And we didn't have a lot of things back in the late 1900s. But that's right, I was alive in the late 1900s. 1979, went to Bible college. I went and checked into my, got in the registration line, got my dorm assignment, went and checked in my dorm, went back, and there was a small room with one set of bunk beds. And I walked in, and there was a guy by the name of Jeff Brady standing there. And I said, "My name's Jerry Ross, what's your name?" He said, "Jeff Brady." And we, with a handshake, began to form a lifelong friendship, and we're still very close. And Jeff said to me, we're getting to know each other, and you know, we're checking out how much closet space and how many drawers we have and trying to be fair with each other. And, you know, do you want this side of the closet or that side? How many drawers do you want? You know, and everybody, you're trying to be overly gracious because you don't know, you're moving in with a stranger. Well, most of us were usually like that. There was the one roommate we had where his mother came in with him and began to move all the stuff out of our closet and put his stuff in there, but we won't go there, all right? That was funny. Say, what did you do? I didn't do anything. I let her do it. My son needs this bed and he needs these drawers, and so we just sat there and let her take whatever. But you know, there's something about mamas, they have to leave eventually. And as soon as she walked out the door and got in her car and he waved goodbye, he walked back in and we went, "Hi." We went and got his stuff, dumped him out of the drawer, took his stuff, threw it on the floor, and put everything back the way it was and say, "Guess what? We're not your mama." But most of the time, you try to be gracious, you see. Jeff Brady says to me, "You want the top bunk or the bottom bunk?" And I said, "Well, I don't really care. Whatever you want." And he said, "Well, I don't care." And I said, "Well, you just choose." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what. To make it fair, I'll take the top bunk and you take the bottom bunk. And then in semester break, we'll switch." He said, "No." He said, I took the top bunk. He took the bottom bunk. He said, "At the semester break, we'll switch." So I said, "Okay." So I moved all my stuff on the top bunk and he moved himself on the bottom bunk. And we both went out, found jobs in the next week, got our jobs. I worked the opposite schedule as Jeff Brady. I would leave about 8 o'clock in the evening, and I'd go to work, and I'd get off about 2 in the morning, and then I'd come in, and about 3 o'clock I'd jump in bed and try to get a couple hours sleep before the alarm went off. Well, Jeff would work all night long, and then he'd come in right about 5:30 in the morning. Well, I always like to get up about 6. I'd sleep from about 3 to 6. And so I knew that Jeff was coming in and only trying to get just a little bit of sleep before school. So he'd come in about 5:30 and he'd get in the bunk and he'd kind of half wake me up. And I'd look over and it was 5:30 and Jeff is climbing in the bottom bunk. And I look over and I realize I've still got 30 minutes to sleep. So you know what I do? I fall back asleep. But this guy just gets in a dead sleep and my alarm clock goes off. And I had to put my alarm clock clear on the other side of the room on the desk. Because if it was near me, I would reach over and turn it off and fall back asleep, not get out of bed. So I was always worried when the alarm would go off that I was going to wake up my new roommate. And so I was on sleep on the top bed, and that alarm would go off, and I'd think immediately, my first thought was, "Oh, I got to get that off. He just went to sleep." And I'd put my feet over the bed and catapult myself off, jump across the room and slap that thing and turn it off. And I did this all during the month of September and October. I mean, every single night, same thing. I'd come in about 3 o'clock, go to bed, fall into a deep sleep. He'd come in about 5:30, kind of half wake me up. I still had a half hour sleep. I'd fall back asleep. The alarm would come off. I'd throw my legs over, jump off that top bed, and turn off the alarm clock. Well, after one semester of this, that's September, October, November, December, we've come back from Christmas break, and he said, "Hey, remember what we said at the beginning of the year?" I said, "What?" He said, "You want about switching bunks?" I said, "All right, we can do that." So I pulled all my stuff off the top bunk and put it on the bottom. He put his stuff on the top bunk. That night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I got home from work, went to sleep in the bottom bunk. He got up, all of a sudden, 5:30, the bed shakes, and I kind of look around, and he's climbing up there. And I think, yeah, in a half hour, my alarm's going to go off. So I fall back into a deep sleep, and all of a sudden, the alarm clock goes off. I throw my legs down, went to catapult myself out of bed, and there's a metal bar right there. Because now I'm on the bottom bunk, instead of, and I mean, I got to the point where I could catapult myself halfway across and hit that thing real quick. So I mean, and so I whipped my legs and went to like that, and I went up and took my head and hit that thing, and went, bam, just knocked myself out. Just fell down. Just knocked myself completely cold. Literally knocked myself out. And the alarm's over there going, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm out. And finally, I hear this voice off in the distance, Jerry, Jerry, yes, Lord. Jerry, Jerry, what? And Jeff's hanging over the bunk going, hey, man, turn your alarm. Oh, I'm sorry. So I fall out of bed and I crawl over to the desk and I turn the alarm off and I'm going, oh, my soul, that was stupid. Oh, man, that hurt. So the next night, I come in at 3 o'clock in the morning and I thought, man, that was dumb. That was really dumb. I got to remember, I'm on the bottom bunk. So I set my alarm and I go to sleep and I said, come on, bottom bunk, bottom bunk, bottom bunk. So I lay down, go back to sleep, 3 o'clock, I'm falling into a dead sleep, you know. 5:30, the bed shakes a lot, I'm half awake. I thought, bottom bunk, okay. Fall back asleep. All of a sudden, my alarm went off. Dee-doo-dee-doo, threw my legs over, catapult myself up, bam, hit that thing again. 2 nights in a row, knocked myself cold. knocked myself, had a big red mark across my forehead. Jerry, what? Jerry, oh, yeah, what? Turn it off. Okay. I crawl over. I turn it off. I'm going, oh, my soul. 3rd night, I come home. 3 o'clock, I sit in bed. I look up at that bar. I start crying. I'm scared to go to sleep. I can't control myself. I know what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. 5:30, the bed's going to shake. I'm going to come half awake, think bottom bunk, and then 6 o'clock, I'm at alarm, and I'm trained now. You know, alarm, jump, alarm, jump, alarm, jump. I won't be able to stop myself. I thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to kill myself. So I looked around. I thought, what can I do? And I finally went to my bottom drawer, and I opened it up, and there was an extra towel. And I took that towel, and I wrapped it around that metal bar. I said, that's not too bad, just in case. 3 o'clock, I come in, fall dead asleep. 5:30, the bed break. I looked up, seen the towel. Come on, man, come on. Remember, bottom bunk, fall asleep, dead sleep. Alarm goes off, dee-doo-dee-doo. I throw my legs over, catapult myself up, wham, hit that, fall down. Didn't knock myself out. Crawled out, turned the alarm off. Still hurt, though, man. It's still hurt. I'm telling you the exact 5 days in a row, I jumped out of that bed and hit that pole. By the way, every day I just kept adding towels. But by the 5th day, it was like this. You know why? Because I had done the same thing at the same time in the same way every single day for 4 months. And you know what? It was ingrained in me. It was a habit. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now, parents, that's why it's important that we get our kids in the house of God. Sunday morning, church. Sunday night, church. Amen. Sunday night, Wednesday night, church. You say, well, Brother Jerry, you mean they can't break it? I'm not saying they can't break the habit. I'm saying it's hard to break the habit. Thank God I eventually broke that one habit, or I wouldn't be alive to tell about it right now. But I'm just saying, if you'll train a child up, listen, this week is another week that you spent, and you know what? You can't go back. You can't redo it. Whatever you've done with your children, you've done with them. But let me say this. You have next week. You have next week. Let me give you a closing thought here. Think about this. 3, and we're done. Jesus is 1 week closer to returning than he was last Sunday.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that exciting? Jesus is one. He said, Brother Jerry, when's Jesus going to come back? I don't know when, but I can tell you this. Today, he's a week closer to coming back than he was last Sunday.
Amen.
Are you getting this? Every day that comes by, Jesus is 1 day closer. Every hour that goes by, Jesus is 1 hour closer to coming back. Hey, Jesus is coming back again.
Amen.
Now, that's why the Bible says, listen, you redeem the time. You walk wisely. You walk circumspectly. I'll tell you why. Because at any given hour, in the next 168 hours, at any given hour, the trumpet could sound and Jesus could come back again. I'm looking forward to Him coming. Are you? Here's a sobering thought. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, that's great. Well, let me give you another thought. Every lost person in this community is 1 week closer to an eternity in hell. You know, I'm like you, and I'm not trying to dampen your enthusiasm, but you know what? As a Christian, it's easy to be very excited as Christ's return nears. And every day and every hour, it is true that we're that much closer to Him coming back again. But let me remind Blessed Hope Baptist Church that every single hour that goes by, every lost person in this community is 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week closer to a devil's hell. Now, let me just end the message by saying this. If you're here and you're not saved, you ought to be saved right now. Right now. You say, why, Brother Jerry? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus could come back in the next hour. Jesus could come back this afternoon. Jesus could come back tonight. Jesus could come back before tomorrow morning. Sometime this week, it may be the appointed time, and Jesus might come back. Hey, don't put off salvation. Christian, remember that person you've been promising the Lord that you're going to get around to witnessing to? Why don't you do it this week? Why don't you do it this week? Know that family member that one of these days you're going to sit down and write him a letter? Why don't you do it this week? Or that neighbor that lives across the street or just down the road, and every time you drive by, the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about, hey, you know, you ought to stop in and invite them to church. Why don't you do it this week? You know how you're always going to grab some tracts on your way out, but you always seem to forget? Why don't you not forget today? Why don't you pass some tracts out this week? How about that person that's in some other part of the country? Maybe you haven't seen them for years and years. Maybe not clear back to high school or college, but you know what? God keeps bringing them to your mind. Well, Brother Jerry, I don't know exactly how to find them or exactly where they're at. In this day and age, with the technology we have, if you wanted to bad enough, you could find them. And if God keeps pricking your heart, why don't you find them this week? Why don't you find them this week? I got an idea. Why don't you come to visitation this week? I got an idea. Why don't you go soul winning this week? I know God's been speaking to your heart for some time about getting on a bus route. Hey, why don't you do it this week? You see, God's been talking to your heart, Sunday school teacher, about going and seeing one of your students. Why don't you do it this week? I mean, you say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm too busy. Well, then maybe we're too busy. I mean, God's given us 168 hours. I think if we sat down and did a study of what we did with every hour that we had last week, we'd all be without excuse. We can get done what we need to get done if we will do it. Jesus is 1 week closer to returning. And every lost person in this community is 1 week closer to an eternity in hell. Well, we had a little interesting thing, and I'll close with this. I told Brother Reiser, we need some more atomic clocks. It's pretty amazing what they have nowadays. We're trying to get to the point where every clock in the church is an atomic clock, which is pretty neat. If you take all of the clocks that we have that are atomic clocks and lay them on a table together, they are perfectly synchronized down to the second hand. We bought about four or five new ones, and we found some batteries and put them in them. And they were laying on the ledge there in the elementary learning center. And as soon as the batteries were put in, all of the clocks start automatically setting themselves, set by some satellite up there, the same one that's watching me and you most of the time. Big Brother setting the clocks now. You watch them go around. We had all these clocks laying on the ledge, all these clocks synchronized, all of these second hands exactly going around together, and all of the minute hands moving slowly at the same pace, and all of the hour hands, if you stand there and watch them long enough, go the same way. Folks, listen to me. When you look at a clock this week, why don't you think about this? My life's ticking away. God's given me a great gift. I need to do something with it. Instead of glancing at your watch casually, why don't you watch that second hand go by, and there's another one, and there's another one, and I can't regain that, and I can't regain that, and I can't regain that. You know what? Almost 12 hours of today is gone. Almost 12 hours is gone, but I still have 12 left. Why don't you get you a calendar? Why don't you get you a weekly, monthly calendar? Why don't you make you a schedule? One of these days I'm going to start reading my Bible again. Why don't you do it this week? One of these days I'm going to start spending more time in prayer than do it this week. What are you waiting for? Let's do it this week. One of these days I'm going to walk with God. Why don't you do it this week? There it is, ticking away. That was another 5 seconds. Can't gain that back. Gone forever. Gone. Gone. There it goes. There it goes. Since I looked for my watch just now, a minute. When I say right now, a minute. Gone. Can't get it back. It's done. It's done. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts. Jesus said, I must go through. I need go through Samaria. Jesus set his face like a flint. John wrote and said, if all of the things that Jesus did in his lifetime was recorded, the books wouldn't contain. The world wouldn't be able to contain the books that should be written. I don't think Christ ever squandered a moment, missed an opportunity. I think he was on an urgent mission. I think he knew he was running on a deadline. I don't think he slept away his life or wasted away his life. I think he's invested his life and redeemed the time day by day, day by day. And because of that, hundreds and thousands of people's lives were never the same. He spent his time winning souls, spent his time training disciples, spent his time teaching the Bible, spent his time comforting those that were brokenhearted, spent his time finding those that had problems, trying to help them solve them. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this matter of time seriously. This very week, Lord, may we not be stingy with our time when we know that, Lord, you're asking for some of it. I pray, Lord, that we'd not be selfish with our time. Lord, we wouldn't squander our time away. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to use the week that's before us to accomplish something meaningful and eternal and great for the kingdom of God.